So we're moved into the section called Strength and Joy, and we did the prologue on the Seven Factors of Enlightenment, and this next section, sort of the bulk of it, is kind of titled Exercise and Enjoyment. And this is, we're two-thirds of the way through, I guess, of the whole thing, if anybody's interested or worrying. This next reading is from the it's from the Vinaya, and it's actually in the Life of the Buddha by Bhikkhu Nyanamoli, but the source is from the Vinaya, and it's a story of Visakha and her deepening of her goodness and enjoyment of that. Visakha, the matriarch of Savatthi, herself a stream enterer, asked the Buddha if he would grant her 8 favors: the allowance to give cloths for bathing cloths for the bhikkhus and bhikkhunis, gruel, food for special occasion. There's sort of it's. There's 8 different things. And the Buddha asks, "But Visakha, what benefits do you foresee for yourself in asking the Perfect One for the 8 favors? As to that, Lord, bhikkhus who have spent the rains in different parts will come to Savatthi to see the Blessed One. They will approach the Blessed One and question him thus: Lord, the bhikkhu named so-and-so has died. What is his destination? What is his rebirth? The Blessed One will tell how it is that one who has reached the fruit of stream entry, of once returning, of non-return, or of arahantship. I shall approach them and ask, Lords, did that Lord ever come to Savatthi? If they answer that he did, I shall conclude that surely a rain's cloth will have been used by that bhikkhu, or visitor's food, or food for one on a journey, or food for the sick, or food for a sick nurse, or medicine for the sick, or the constant gruel supply. When I remember it, I shall be glad. When I am glad, I shall be happy. When my mind is happy, my body will be tranquil. When my body is tranquil, I shall feel pleasure. When I feel pleasure, my mind will become concentrated. That will maintain the spiritual factors in being, in me, and also the spiritual powers and also the enlightenment factors. This, Lord, is the benefit I foresee for myself in asking the 8 favors of the Perfect One. Good, good, Visakha. It is good that you have asked the Perfect One the 8 favors for seeing these benefits. I grant you these 8 favors. Okay, so the next sutta is on out of nourishing conditions, and nourishment of conditions. And it's a mixture of two, or combination of two suttas, Anguttara 10, Sutta number 61, and Sutta 62. A first beginning of ignorance, O monks, cannot be discerned, of which it can be said, before that there was no ignorance, and it came to be after that. Though this is so, monks, yet a specific condition of ignorance is discerned. Ignorance too has its nutriment, I declare, and it is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of ignorance? The 5 hindrances should be the answer. And in Sutta number 62, it begins, a first beginning of the craving for becoming, O monks, cannot be discerned, of which it can be said, before that there was no craving for becoming, and it came to be after that. Though this is so, monks, yet a specific condition for the craving for becoming is discerned. The craving for becoming too has its nutriment, I declare, and it is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the craving for becoming? Ignorance should be the answer. But ignorance too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. and what is the nutriment of ignorance? The five hindrances should be the answer. But the five hindrances too have their nutriment. Monks, they are not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the five hindrances? The three ways of wrong conduct should be the answer. So that's wrong conduct by body, speech, and mind. The three ways of wrong conduct too have their nutriment. They are not without a nutriment. And what is their nutriment? Lack of sense restraint should be the answer. Lack of sense restraint too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is its nutriment? Lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension should be the answer. Lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension? Improper attention should be the answer. That's yoniso manisikara. Improper attention too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of improper attention? Lack of faith should be the answer. Lack of faith too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the lack of faith? Listening to wrong teachings should be the answer. Listening to wrong teachings too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of listening to wrong teachings? Association with bad people should be the answer. Hence, when association with bad people prevails, listening to wrong teachings will prevail. When listening to wrong teachings prevails, it will make lack of faith prevail. When lack of faith prevails, it will make improper attention prevail. When improper attention prevails, it will make lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension prevail. When lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension prevails, it will make lack of sense restraint prevail. When lack of sense restraint prevails, it will make the three ways of wrong conduct prevail. When the three ways of wrong conduct prevail, they will make the five hindrances prevail. When the five hindrances prevail, they will make ignorance prevail. And that's the end of sutta number 61. And sutta number 62 adds, when ignorance prevails, it will make the craving for becoming prevail. Such is the nutriment of that ignorance and of that craving for becoming, and so it prevails. Just as when there is heavy rain high up in the mountains and the sky is rumbling, the water flowing downwards will fill up the clefts, crevices, and fissures in the mountains. And when these are full, they will fill up the little pools. The full little pools will fill up the lakes. The full lakes will fill up the small rivers. The full small rivers will fill up the big rivers. And the full big rivers will fill up the great ocean. Such is the nutriment of the great ocean, and so it becomes full. In the same way, monks, when association with bad people prevails, so on through the that whole list recites it all again. Such is the nutriment of ignorance and of the craving for becoming, and so it prevails. Liberation by supreme knowledge too, O monks, has its nutriment. I declare it is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment of liberation by supreme knowledge? The seven factors of enlightenment should be the answer. The seven factors of enlightenment too have their nutriment, I declare. They are not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the seven factors of enlightenment? The four foundations of mindfulness should be the answer. The four foundations of mindfulness too have their nutriment. They are not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the four foundations of mindfulness? The three ways of good conduct should be the answer. The three ways of good conduct too have their nutriment. They are not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the three ways of good conduct? Restraint of the senses should be the answer. Restraint of the senses too has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of restraint of the senses? Mindfulness and clear comprehension should be the answer. Mindfulness and clear comprehension too have their nutriment. They are not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of mindfulness and clear comprehension? proper attention should be the answer. Proper attention, too, has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of proper attention? Faith should be the answer. Faith, too, has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of faith? Listening to the true Dhamma should be the answer. Listening to the true Dhamma, too, has its nutriment. It is not without a nutriment. And what is the nutriment of listening to the true Dhamma? Association with superior people should be the answer. Hence, when association with superior people prevails, it will make the listening to the true Dhamma prevail. And of course, it goes back all the way through again. When the seven factors of enlightenment prevail, they will make liberation by supreme knowledge prevail. Such is the nutriment of that liberation by supreme knowledge, and so it prevails. Just as when there is heavy rain high up in the mountains and the sky is rumbling, the water flowing downwards will fill up the clefts, crevices and fissures in the mountains, and when these are full, they will fill up the little pools. The full little pools will fill up the lakes. The full lakes will fill up the small rivers. The full small rivers will fill up the big rivers, and the full big rivers will fill up the great ocean. Such is the nutriment of the great ocean, and so it becomes full. In the same way, monks, when association with superior peoples prevails, listening to the true Dhamma will prevail. When listening to the true Dhamma prevails, faith will prevail. When faith prevails, proper attention will prevail. When proper attention prevails, mindfulness and clear comprehension will prevail. When mindfulness and clear comprehension prevails, restraint of the senses will prevail. When restraint of the senses prevails, the three ways of good conduct will prevail. When the three ways of good conduct prevail, the four foundations of mindfulness will prevail. When the four foundations of mindfulness prevail, the seven factors of enlightenment will prevail. When the seven factors of enlightenment prevail, liberation by supreme knowledge will prevail. Such is the nutriment of that liberation by supreme knowledge, and so it prevails. This next sutta is from the Anguttara Sixes, sutta number 85. This is called the Siti Sutta, which means the Sutta on the Cooled. And it starts, let's say, six things of which are on both sides. One of somebody who is incapable of realizing the unexcelled state of coolness, and this one, endowed with six things, a monk is capable of realizing the unexcelled state of coolness. Which six? Of course, that's referring to Nibbana as a state of coolness. Here, monks, on an occasion in which the mind is to be restrained, he does restrain the mind. On an occasion in which the mind is to be exerted, he does exert the mind. On an occasion in which the mind is to be encouraged, he encourages the mind. The word encourage in Pali is sampahangsati, which is also encourage, compliment, approve, gladden. On an occasion in which the mind is to be observed with equanimity, he does observe the mind with equanimity. He is intent on what is superior, and he delights in Nibbana. And so those are the six things. I mean, it's a very simple sutta, but it's actually really not quite difficult to... We tend to not get it right in the sense of you know, either we're... You know, when we need to put forth exertion, then we're sort of looking on with equanimity. When we need to be we need to encourage the mind, then we restrain it. And so, you know, it's just not getting it quite right, and sort of really being attentive to that. And then there's those last ones of really bringing that to consciousness of the, you know, really being intent on what is for the true good, true benefit, what is superior, and then delighting in Nibbana, delighting in liberation. Next one is the naturalness of the Dhamma, and this is from the Anguttara 10 Sutta number 2. It's titled, Bhikkhu Bodhi's got the title, Lawfulness of Progress. For one who is virtuous and endowed with virtue, there is no need for an act of will. May non-remorse arise in me. It is a natural law, monks, that non-remorse will arise in one who is virtuous. For one free of remorse, there is no need for an act of will. May gladness arise in me. It is a natural law that gladness will arise in one who is free from remorse. For one who is glad at heart, there is no need for an act of will. May joy arise in me. It is a natural law that joy will arise in one who is glad at heart. For one who is joyful, there is no need for an act of will. May my body be serene. It is a natural law that the body will be serene for one who is joyful. For one of serene body, there is no need for an act of will. May I feel happiness. It is a natural law that one who is serene will feel happiness. For one who is happy, there is no need for an act of will. May my mind be concentrated. It is a natural law for one who is happy that the mind will be concentrated. For one who is concentrated, there is no need for an act of will. May I know and see things as they really are. It is a natural law for one with a concentrated mind to know and see things as they really are. For one who knows and sees things as they really are, there is no need for an act of will. May I experience disenchantment and dispassion. It is a natural law for one who knows and sees things as they really are to experience disenchantment and dispassion. For one who experiences disenchantment and dispassion, there is no need for an act of will. May I realize the knowledge and vision of liberation. It is a natural law for one who experiences disenchantment and dispassion to realize the knowledge and vision of liberation. Thus, monks, disenchantment and dispassion have knowledge and vision of liberation as their benefit and reward. And then, and that goes all the way back through of the benefit and reward the benefit and reward of a concentrated mind is to experience disenchantment and dispassion. The benefit and reward of a happy mind is for it to be concentrated. The benefit and reward of a serenity, tranquility, is that one will feel happiness. And the benefit and reward of one who is joyful is that the body will be serene, there'll be tranquility. For one who is glad at heart, the benefit and reward is the arising of joy. For one who is free from remorse, the benefit and reward is gladness. And for the benefit and reward are the virtuous ways of conduct. One who is virtuous and endowed with virtue has non-remorse as their benefit and reward. Thus, monks, the preceding qualities flow into the succeeding qualities. The succeeding qualities bring the preceding qualities to perfection for going from the near shore to the far shore. Which is in reference to Nibbana, the far shore, the further shore. And sort of returning to the element of enjoyment. This sutta is from the Anguttara Fives, 176. Then the householder Anathapindika, accompanied by 500 lay followers, approached the Blessed One. The Blessed One then said to them, householders, you attend upon the Sangha of monks with robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicinal requisites for use in time of sickness. But you should not remain satisfied merely with this. Rather, householders, you should train yourselves thus. How can we enter and dwell from time to time in the rapture of seclusion? Thus should you train yourselves. When he said this, the Venerable Sariputta said to the Blessed One, it is wonderful, Lord, it is marvelous, Lord. How well spoken was that statement of the Blessed One. Whenever, Lord, a noble disciple enters and dwells in the rapture of seclusion, on that occasion, these five things come to him. 1. Whatever pain and grief there is connected with sensual desire does not exist on that occasion. 2. Whatever pleasure and joy there is connected with sensual desire does not exist on that occasion. 3. Whatever pain and grief there is connected with the unwholesome does not exist on that occasion. 4. Whatever pleasure and joy there is connected with the unwholesome does not exist on that occasion. 5. Whatever pain and grief there is connected with the wholesome does not exist on that occasion. Whenever a noble disciple enters and dwells in the rapture of seclusion, on that occasion these five things come to him. Good, Sariputta. And then the Buddha repeats that, the whole thing over again. So the rapture of seclusion. The commentary says rapture arising independence on the first and second jhanas. We wake up. Next sutta is Anguttara 5, sutta number 30, called The Bliss of Detachment. Sort of strong words from the Buddha. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was wandering on tour in the Kosala country, together with a large company of monks, when he arrived at a Brahmin village called Ichhanangala. There the Blessed One dwelt in a woodland near Ichhanangala. Now the Brahmin householders of Ichhanangala heard, it is said that the ascetic Gotama, the Sakyan son who went forth from a Sakyan family, has arrived at Ichhanangala. Now a good report about that master Gotama has been circulating thus. That Blessed One is an Arahant, and goes through all the exceptional qualities of the Buddha. He reveals a holy life that is perfectly complete and purified. Now it is good to see Arahants such as this. And when the night had passed, the Brahmin householders went to the woodland where the Blessed One was dwelling, taking with them ample hard and soft food. Having arrived, they stopped outside the entrance, making an uproar and a racket. Now at that time, the Venerable Nagita was the Blessed One's personal attendant. And the Blessed One said to the Venerable Nagita, Who is it, Nagita, that is making this uproar and racket? One would think they were fishermen making a haul of fish. These, Lord, are Brahmin householders of Ichanangala. They stand at the entrance with ample provisions of food for the Blessed One and for the Sangha of monks. May I have nothing to do with fame, Nagita, nor may fame come upon me. Whosoever cannot obtain at will, easily and without difficulty, this happiness of renunciation, this happiness of seclusion, this happiness of peace, this happiness of enlightenment as I obtain it, let him enjoy this filthy and slothful happiness, this happiness gotten of gains, homage, and publicity. Please, Lord, let the Blessed One with forbearance accept the offering. May the Sublime One accept it. It is now timely for the Blessed One to accept it in forbearance. Wherever the Blessed One now goes, there the Brahmin householders of town and countryside will be inclined to go. Just as when it rains in big drops, the water tends to flow downhill. Similarly, wherever the Blessed One now goes, there people will tend to go. And why is that so? Because of the Blessed One's virtue and wisdom. May I have nothing to do with fame, Nagita, nor may fame come upon me. Whosoever cannot obtain at will, easily and without difficulty, this happiness of renunciation, this happiness of seclusion, this happiness of peace, this happiness of enlightenment as I obtain it, let him enjoy this filthy and slothful happiness, this happiness gotten of gains, homage, and publicity. Truly, Nagita, eating, drinking, chewing, and savoring end in excrement and urine. This is their outcome. Through change and alteration in what one loves, there arise sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. This is its outcome. But whosoever, Nagita, applies himself to meditation on the unattractiveness of attractive things, in him, disenchantment toward attractive objects will be firmly established. This is its outcome. Whosoever, Nagita, dwells contemplating the impermanence in the six bases of sensory contact, in him, disenchantment towards sensory contact will be firmly established. This is its outcome. Whosoever, Nagita, dwells contemplating rise and fall in the five aggregates of clinging, in him, disenchantment towards clinging will be firmly established. This is its outcome.
It's one of Ajahn Mahabhua's favorite suttas.
Okay, this next one is about the grades of happiness, and it's the Samyutta 36, which is the Vedana Samyutta, Sutta number 19. Then the carpenter Panchakanga approached the venerable Udayi, paid homage to him, sat down to one side and asked him, Venerable Udayi, how many kinds of feelings have been spoken of by the Blessed One? Three kinds of feelings, carpenter, have been spoken of by the Blessed One. Pleasant feeling, painful feeling, neither painful nor pleasant feeling. These are the three kinds of feelings that have been spoken of by the Blessed One. When this was said, the carpenter Panchakanga said to the Venerable Udayi, The Blessed One did not speak of three kinds of feelings, Venerable Udayi. He spoke of two kinds of feelings, pleasant feeling and painful feeling. As to this neither painful nor pleasant feeling, Venerable Sir, the Blessed One has said that this is included in the peaceful and sublime pleasure. A second time and a third time the Venerable Udayi stated his position, and a second and a third time the carpenter Panchakanga stated his. But the Venerable Udai could not convince the carpenter Panchakanga, nor could the carpenter Panchakanga convince the Venerable Udai. The Venerable Ananda heard this conversation between the Venerable Udai and the carpenter Panchakanga. Then he approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and reported to the Blessed One the entire conversation. The Blessed One said, Ananda, it was a true method of exposition that the carpenter Panchakanga would not approve of from the Bhikkhu Udai. And it was a true method of exposition that the Bhikkhu Udai would not approve of from the carpenter Panchakanga. I have spoken of two kinds of feelings by one method of exposition. I have spoken of three kinds of feelings by another method of exposition. I have spoken of five kinds of feelings. I have spoken of six kinds of feelings. I have spoken of 18 kinds of feelings. I have spoken of 36 kinds of feelings by another method of exposition. And I have spoken of 108 kinds of feelings by still another method of exposition. Thus, Ananda, the Dhamma has been taught by me through different methods of exposition. When the Dhamma has been taught by me in such a way, through different methods of exposition, it may be expected of those who will not concede, allow, and approve of what is well stated and well spoken by others, that they will become contentious and quarrelsome and engage in disputes, and that they will dwell stabbing each other with verbal daggers. But when the Dhamma has been taught by me in such a way, through different methods of exposition, it may be expected of those who will concede, allow, and approve of what is well stated and well spoken by others, that they will live in concord, with mutual appreciation, without disputing, blending like milk and water, viewing each other with kindly eyes. Ananda, there are these five chords of sensual pleasure. What five? Forms cognizable by the eye that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. Sounds cognizable by the ear, odors cognizable by the nose, tastes cognizable by the tongue, tactile objects cognizable by the body, that are desirable, lovely, agreeable, pleasing, sensually enticing, tantalizing. These are the five chords of sensual pleasure. The pleasure and joy that arise in dependence on these five chords of sensual pleasure, this is called sensual pleasure. Though some may say, this is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience, I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unwholesome states, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the first jhana, which is accompanied by thought and examination, with rapture and happiness born of seclusion. This is that other kind of happiness, more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, this is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience, I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness, more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, with the subsiding of thought and examination, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the second jhana, which has internal confidence and unification of mind, is without thought and examination, and has rapture and happiness born of concentration. This is that other kind of happiness, more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, this is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience, I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, with the fading away as well of rapture, a bhikkhu dwells equanimous, and, mindful and clearly comprehending, He experiences happiness with the body. He enters and dwells in the third jhana, of which the noble ones declare, "He is equanimous, mindful, one who dwells happily." This is that other kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, "This is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience," I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, with the abandoning of pleasure and pain, and with the previous passing away of joy and displeasure, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the fourth jhana, which is neither painful nor pleasant, and includes the purification of mindfulness by equanimity. This is that other kind of happiness, more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, "This is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience," I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, with the complete transcendence of perceptions of forms, with the passing away of perceptions of sensory impingement, with non-attention to perceptions of diversity, aware that space is infinite, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the base of the infinity of space. This is that other kind of happiness, more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, "This is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience," I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, by completely transcending the base of the infinity of space, aware that consciousness is infinite, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the base of the infinity of consciousness. This is that other kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, "This is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience," I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, by completely transcending the base of the infinity of consciousness, aware that there is nothing, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the base of nothingness. This is that other kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, "This is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience," I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, by completely transcending the base of nothingness, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the base of neither perception nor non-perception. This is that other kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Though some may say, "This is the supreme pleasure and joy that beings experience," I would not concede this to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than that happiness. And what is that other kind of happiness? Here, Ananda, by completely transcending the base of neither perception nor non-perception, a bhikkhu enters and dwells in the cessation of perception and feeling. This is that other kind of happiness more excellent and sublime than the previous kind of happiness. Now it is possible, Ananda, that wanderers of other sects might speak thus. The ascetic Gotama speaks of the cessation of perception and feeling, and he maintains that it is included in happiness. What is that? How is that? When wanderers of other sects speak thus, Ananda, they should be told, "The Blessed One, friends, does not describe a state as included in happiness only with reference to pleasant feeling, but rather, friends, wherever happiness is found and in whatever way, the Tathagata describes that as included in happiness." Because that cessation of perception and feeling is only accessible to those who have relinquished the asavas.
Thank you.